First reading is from Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
The second reading is from Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one can be justified by the works of the law. But if in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Our final reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.'" From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Shall we pray? Well, we thank you for your word and the privilege it is to hear it this morning. We thank you for your word, Jesus Christ, who comes into our lives to transform us with truth and grace. We commit ourselves to you and to your purposes. Amen. Well, some big readings. Some very big readings there, and we're not even really going to scratch the surface of those today. Last week we began looking at our Nativity vision. I thought that would be a good idea at the beginning of the year to kind of set out what it is that we're on about here at Nativity. And to help us think about that in terms of the year ahead. Last week, we looked at this image out of the movie Apocalypto. It's a movie done by Mel Gibson, so you can expect a fair amount of gore and all that sort of thing. So there's a little caveat warning there for you. But the theme that we picked up on last week is this: the warring tribes would go and capture other tribes and take them off to some Mayan city somewhere to for sacrifice. And they would bind them together by this bamboo pole so that none would escape. And we use that idea, that image, that us as believers are all connected by the one pole, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that binds us together. It's the Holy Spirit that unites us in a kind of shared purpose and direction. It is not an individual, it is not a group of people. But the church is to be led and guided by that pole. That connects us together. And so with the Holy Spirit, we are a supernatural community in that, in our connection to the Holy Spirit, that we're governed and guided by that. And then the second part of that is that whatever we then do here at Nativity is to grow us in that connection to the Holy Spirit and our following of the Holy Spirit, our ability to follow the words of Jesus, to do what God wants us to do. That really is our goal throughout the year. And those two ideas, united in Christ and growing in Christ, then are kind of the basis, the bedrock, the foundation from which we then do the rest of our vision, which is drawing people to faith in Jesus and reaching out with the love of God. And what I've done for us is I've kind of put that into a statement, and it's a bit wordy, I know, but kind of reformatted the vision into a one sentence for us, hopefully to remember. So there it is there, united in Christ and growing in Him, drawing others to faith in Him and reaching out with the love God has for the world. So that is the kind of nativity vision that we're thinking about over the last week in this. So we now come to the words of Jesus, and we'll pick up some of the other readings as we go along. So in the Gospel of John, right at the outset of his Gospel, very unique from all the other Gospels, that he starts in the way that he does, that he's telling us who this character Jesus is before he kind of comes on the scene with a whole lot of different language. But he says that Jesus came into the world full of truth and grace, full of truth and grace. These are the hallmarks of Jesus' engagement with the world. This is the way that he interacts with the world, and we see that obviously in the Gospels. But continuing on, as he is resurrected and ascended, this is how he engages with the world, through his Spirit and the church as well. These are the hallmarks of what it means to be a church that's following Jesus, full of grace and truth. Jesus tells the truth to the world about who we are. If we look through the Gospels, he speaks the truth into the lives of those that he encounters. He doesn't hold back on that. But then he provides a way through that truth that he gives, a way out of the situation in which humanity, which he declares that humanity is in. And humanity is in sin, is in a rebellion to God, and is suffering the consequences of that. Jesus tells that truth, but then he offers a way out of that. And that's the grace. That's the grace that God gives, a practical help to the situation in which we find ourselves. Jesus holds those two things together throughout the Gospels. If you want to read through with that kind of lens, and I think maybe that's part of what John is saying in his Gospel, to read through the Gospels with that lens, truth and grace. Everything that Jesus does is truth and grace together. Jesus does not give up the truth in some kind of sham grace that he offers to the world. It is in the context of the truth that Jesus gives grace. It is in the context of the reality in which humanity finds itself that Jesus comes, that Jesus lives his life that he lives. I think we need to remember that the truth that Jesus gives is not religious truth. The words that Jesus says, and they've become religious over usage in the life of the church, they are not religious. They are the truth. They are the reality of our existence. Everything that Jesus speaks, this is the way in which the world works. That is the Gospel. Jesus is not giving us some kind of religious tips or some little bit of wisdom to get us through this life. No, Jesus is describing this life, the very nature of this life. And that's why we're going to pick up in a minute the reading from Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God. In him all things hold together. This is the one that we worship. So we need to remember that when we are sharing the truth. It is the truth. Full stop. It's not the church. It's not the truth for the church. It's not the truth for the spiritually minded. It is the way the world is. And we're going to talk about how we need to present that aspect or that reality of Jesus into the world. Gone off track, sorry. The truth and grace. This is the thing. If we, part of our vision is united in Christ, growing in Christ. So to grow in Christ means that we will then be growing in truth and grace, yes? That's who we're growing in. That's the privilege. And we've got to remember it is an absolute privilege to be called to grow in Christ, to grow to the full measure. We talked about that last week, didn't we? To grow to the full measure of the stature of Christ. What an amazing high calling that we have been given. What a privilege that we have been given to grow into that. And it is our calling. It's not an optional extra. That is the plan that God has for our lives. And that isn't that amazing? That God is wanting us to be like Jesus. That is incredible. It's mind-blowing. And I think our vision, drawing people to faith in Christ and reaching out with the love God has for the world, are kind of fulfillments or they're directly related to the truth and grace that Jesus came with. That they are doing that. They are doing that in the world, drawing people to faith in Christ and reaching out with the love of God. And we're going to look at that as we go through. Just a little for us to think about truth for a start, and I've already kind of got onto that topic a little bit. I think truth is one of the most hotly debated issues, isn't it? Not only of our time, but really of all time. Truth has always been debated. We even know about Jesus and his trial with Pilate. When Jesus is speaking about the truth, and Pilate kind of shrugs his shoulders, what is truth? So even 2,000 years ago, they were discussing the nature of truth. It's not a modern idea to debate what truth is, what is true and what is not true. It's always been with us. But I think our particular version of that debate at the moment is really interesting. We're in a day and age now where truth and personal opinion are kind of blurred and mixed all in one together. We have lost, in some respects, a truth that is outside of ourselves, haven't we? Truth is defined by me. I get to say what is true, what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong. I mean, Genesis 1, so it's all, that reality's always been with us, where Adam and Eve took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've always wanted to decide for ourselves what that truth is, but it is exploded, I think, at the moment, hasn't it? Where we don't have that outside objective thing to which to reference anymore. That has completely disappeared in the psyche and in the culture. So what can be true for you can be completely contradictory to what the truth is for me, and that's all fine and dandy. We can kind of carry on with our lives. So now we come as the church to proclaim Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Colossians 1, into that culture, into that reality. And what happens? Well, that's nice. That's really nice for you, that you have this picture of Jesus, who is the creator of all things, in whom all things hold together, you know, governs and rules the earth. Oh, that's really nice for you to have that idea, but that doesn't relate to me because I don't think that's true. So it's either true or it's not true. And this is the world into which we speak about Jesus. And what happens is then Jesus just becomes an add-on to my life. Either as a nice spiritual guide that I might listen to and take advice from now and then, a good moral teacher, you know, he's got some great rules, you know, is there 12? I don't know. There's some rules there and they're really helpful and they, you know, I've really seen benefit out of living my life according to those nice moral rules. But at the base of it, whatever we think of Jesus as, he is this kind of add-on to my understanding of the world that has not really changed. And he can kind of click on to that, and I can add him in, and he can help me a little bit in my kind of idea of what life is all about. I don't know if you've heard of the author Tom Holland. He wrote a book called Dominion, big, big, thick book. Kind of links up with the title, I guess. But his whole idea is, and he was a non-Christian writer at the time, his whole idea is that Western society is based on the teaching of Jesus, and he kind of draws all the links. So the fact that we have a justice system, the fact that we care about the poor, all of these things are really because of Jesus. that we believe that these things are important. But what he goes on to say is really interesting, is that when the church then talks about those things to the world, we should care about the poor, we should have justice, we should have this, the world kind of just nods its head and goes, of course. We should care about the environment. The world's like, well, of course we should do that. It's you know, that's obvious. Forgetting that it's Jesus that it's actually taught them those things. What Tom Holland's critique of the church is, that instead of talking about those things that the world just kind of all agrees with and goes, of course, well, you're not telling us anything new. Tom Holland says, why is the church not talking about the Jesus of Colossians? Why is the church not talking about the creator of the heavens and earth, the judge of all people, the one in front of whom we will give an account of our lives? Why is the church not talking about the resurrection from the dead, the forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit, all of these things? It's really interesting, isn't it? It's probably most likely because it's much easier to talk about social justice and being nice to people, isn't it, than it is to talk about judgment, even though we know truth and grace. It's judgment. It is the reality of who we are, but God offers us a way out of that reality. And I think the church is doing a massive disservice to the world by not telling them that truth, by not telling them that reality, and therefore enabling them to be free from the actual reality in which they are in. Jesus is the one, Paul says, who is at the basis of our whole existence. I remember someone preaching on this verse about in him all things hold together. So Jesus would actually have to stop doing something in order for the world to fly to pieces. He's literally, actively holding the world together. That is the image of the Jesus that we serve and that we want to proclaim into the world. He is the one who defines right and wrong, good and bad. He is the one who tells us about what is wise, what is foolish. I think it would be a really good thing for us as individuals, as a church, to read and reflect on Colossians 1. Just read through that again and again and again, over all dominions, over all powers. You know, just fill our vision with this picture of Jesus. And I think that will help us then. How do we go from that big, huge, massive reality of Jesus over the whole cosmos kind of thing? How do we go then from that into the individual conversations and into the community and into our daily lives? How do we kind of translate that? Well, I think, and we've got to think about this as individuals and how we do that in our individual interactions with people, my conversations with people. I think a big part of that is we need to connect people with with Jesus, drawing people to faith in Christ, not through telling them that they're living their lives wrong, all of these sorts of things, but connecting them to that larger image of who Jesus is. Maybe that's part of it that we need to continue to think about. But today I want us to think about our nativity vision and how we are trying to do that as a community of believers here. We have a variety of outreaches that we do to kind of fulfill our vision of drawing people to faith, reaching out with the love of God. And I think they do, all of them point in some way or other to that bigger reality. So they're not trying to tell people how to behave. They are actually pointing to that much larger reality. So I've got a few here for us to look at. We do much more than this, but this is just some that we have as a focus at the moment. And when we think through these, all of these outreaches in some way do truth and grace, which is really interesting. So Repair Cafe. Repair Cafe talks about, we do Repair Cafe because we want to care for the creation that God has given us. God has given us stewardship over creation. So Repair Cafe is a way of waving that banner and saying we need to think about the things that we're using and not just turfing them out on the waste tip all the time when they maybe slightly go wrong. So that's the truth. The grace is, come along and we'll help you fix those products. We'll help you be part of what God is calling us to be as good stewards, to look after the things that we have. Healing Horticulture talks about how we can take care of ourselves, of our mental health, among other things, but also getting some life skills about looking after ourselves with growing plants. And Don does a fantastic job of also talking about how God can be part of that help. God can be part of your life and help you to strengthen your inner being, as it were. Alpha Marriage, we also run, talks about how the importance of marriage. It's a sacred institution that God has given to us. And that's the truth. The grace is, hey, come along and we'll help you how to navigate that and how to get better at that and how to find joy in life and all of those things that God promises in that institution. And finally, Tunes for Tots there. These as examples, provides a great service to the community, doesn't it? Mums have got somewhere to go for a morning to have fun with their kids, a bit of education, a bit of community there. And of course, Rebecca does a fantastic job in that context of telling people about Jesus, the reality of Jesus, into that context. So hopefully we can see the kind of the truth and the grace being brought together in those ministries. We're telling something about that bigger reality. And what we're hoping is that people will see that and be interested by that. But also the grace, we can provide ways to help you live a different life. And that will hopefully draw people in. The hope is that these are not just standalone things that we just offer and forget about, but they are kind of pathways, connection points of connection with our community, that people will come in through those and want to know more, and then we'll provide pathways for that. And we often talk about, we have a group that get together to think about this. We often talk about, you know, if I go to Repair Cafe on a Saturday, completely unchurched, no idea of church, am I expected then to rock up to church on Sunday? It's a pretty big step, isn't it? So we've got to think about ways in which we can have smaller steps to connect people along as they go. So maybe they come along to Repair Cafe, really like the community of people there that are like-minded. Maybe they meet up with those people in an informal setting, get to know that they're Christians, maybe come along to their care cell, and on they go. So they're the kind of ways in which we're looking at developing those pathways, connections from that to church life. So I want us to finish by thinking of a couple of questions. And the first of which is, what is going to be your goal for 2024 as we think about these things? For your life as a Christian, for your following of Jesus, your growing in Jesus. We talked about that last week. That if I am able to do what Jesus wants more at the end of the year than I was doing at the beginning of the year, then that's success. And we might be able to measure that in different ways. Does my life look more like Jesus? Am I doing the things that Jesus is doing more than I was at the beginning of the year? Then that would be a success for us. But what about this, in this area of drawing people to faith in Christ and reaching out? I think an obvious one right off the bat is that I would be involved in one of the outreach activities that Nativity is doing. And involvement can look like a whole lot of different things. It can be turning up on the day, it can be prayer support, it can be behind the scenes. Every single outreach I know is always happy to have more people to help and be behind the scenes, and you're supporting it in that way. Prayer support. These outreaches desperately need our prayer to be effective. They need the Spirit of God at work in those events, and without the prayer, we will be lacking in that. So I encourage you to talk to some of the leaders, some of the people that are involved in these, and say, how could I be involved, whatever it may be. And at whatever level you're able to do. So that's the first one. What is your goal for 2024? How are you going to be involved this year with achieving those things? And secondly, how can I share truth and grace? How can I be like Jesus in sharing truth and grace? Often the interactions we have with people come in all sorts of different ways, don't they? It's not really always straightforward. Tell me about Jesus, and then I can unload. It usually comes in the kind of, you know, cut and thrust of different things that are happening. So our responses have to match the context. We have to be kind of thinking on our feet, as it were. I think Jesus is a great example in that he had a huge range of responses to different situations. So, and they would go from telling a parable, telling a story, a metaphor, an example that kind of highlighted an aspect of the gospel truth. He would challenge people directly. The rich young ruler, go and sell all you have and give your money to the poor and come and follow me. A straight, direct challenge. Right through to straight out rebuke to the Pharisees. You whitewash tombs. And he would just literally tell them who they were and how they were living. He would directly do that. Do you know, I think as a church, we've got to stop being afraid of challenging the world. We have we have lost our guts, haven't we? And we've lost our authority to do that. God has actually called us to be like Christ, who did these things, who called out the world for their sin, called out the world for when they were going astray, out of step with God, out of step with reality. Yeah? Not just religiously not doing the right things. They are out of step with the way things are. And we've got to not be afraid to challenge people in that, with truth and grace. So we challenge them, but we give them a way out and forward out of that life. How can we challenge people? And the people that we interact with that we feel that have gone off track, that are misconceived or whatever it may be, are we going to challenge them? Are we going to have the guts to do that? What truth are you called to share this week? What is the truth that you are called to share? And what will be the practical thing that you can offer to help the people to show God's love to the world? Shall we pray? Well, God, these are big and heavy things for us to think about, and a real serious challenge that we do not want to take lightly, God, because we are we're playing with people's lives when we do this. So, Lord, we pray for your grace. You're an overwhelming sense of grace in our lives. And Lord, if we need our faith encouraged today, I pray that you would encourage our faith, that you are at work in the world and you are able to do what we consider impossible. Lord, so give us eyes of faith. Give us eyes to see your work in the world. Help us to trust that you are with us wherever we are. Lord, when we're at school, when we're in the playground, when we're at work, when we're at home, when we're having a social engagement, Lord, you are there and you care about the people around us. And you are able to equip us in a way that speaks your truth and offers grace. So come and minister to us by your Holy Spirit this morning, that we may receive your gifts and your enabling afresh today. Our worship team's going to come up and we're going to sing that Habakkuk song once more, in just a time to continue to pray and to receive what it is God has for us this morning.